of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closing now. Than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilled. And the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God,
the fire of the Holy Ghost is starting to burn again. The fire of the Holy Ghost is starting to burn again. There's no doubt about it. We are right on the verge of two things. The great rapture of the church. Oh, that's going to be a blessed event. And then, before or after, that great latter rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to take you into the Bible today, and I'm not going to leave any doubt. I don't think the Bible leaves us a place to even ask a question. Will there be a latter rain of the Holy Ghost? And I'm here to tell you, the Bible is very clear. There will be a latter rain of the Holy Ghost. It may start before the rapture. It may start after the rapture. But I want to tell you, it will extend right on into the great millennial reign. That's the beauty of it all. Right on into the great millennial reign. The great outpouring of God's wonderful Holy Spirit. You know, I love the way Jesus made these kind of truths so evident. Let me take you to start today to the book of John. St. John, you know, that's the great book of his divinity. Nothing proves the divinity of Jesus Christ more than the book of John. And Jesus said, now notice, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Now that's the great feast of the millennial reign. They call it the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's the great symbol or shatter of the feast of the time of the millennial reign. And so in that day, the day of that great feast, the Bible said Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now listen, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen, John goes on to describe this, "But this spake he of the Spirit," the Holy Ghost, "which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, you'll notice he said, "It is written." I'm going to take you to where it is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. I had never seen this until this week. I caught one of my dearest biblical friends, a great preacher, Joey Yates, and asked him about this. He had never seen it before either. We both found it here about the same time that Jesus was quoting Isaiah. And when you go to Isaiah 44, beginning with verse 33, it comes alive. I'm here to tell you, it comes alive. Now, I'm telling you, friends, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit. No doubt about it. What a day that's going to be. Well, to add a little to that, let me take you to the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is the great language of Peter, and Luke is quoting him, of course, in writing this. And here's what Peter said. I want you to hear this now. And it shall come to pass, verse 17 of Acts 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now study that last days, and it means the last of the last. The last days, not the early days, but the last days, saith God. God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let me tell you, every one of you out there that's living a godly life, get ready for the rain. Get ready for the rain of the Holy Ghost. And don't wait now for weeks and months to get on your face and tarry for it, but start tarrying for it now. And even if you've already been doing your tarrying, fasting and praying, receive it now. God's been pouring His Spirit out on this preacher, and I'm not deserving of it. I don't deserve a thing. I'm just a man who was saved by the grace of God. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I'm saved by grace. And now I'm a new creature in Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. There's nothing like being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's nothing. Jesus said it so beautiful in John 17. And I read this often. And I literally depend upon it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers. That's innermost being. Shall flow rivers of living water. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm speaking this for the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and anybody, anywhere that's been saved. I know in many of these churches, very few have been saved, and there may be some of them, nobody's been saved. I'm not putting my approval on anything. I'm just telling you, wherever you are, if you're a Hindu, or you a Muslim, or you of some other religious view, you go back to this book of John, and you get on your knees, and you meet the Jesus of this book. You meet the Christ of this book. Let Him save you. Let Him forgive your sins. Let Him make a new creature out of you. You experience what the Bible calls being born again. And then you can have this gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you can have this gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you will receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved. You have Him. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, He has you. And that's when you will experience the gifts of the Holy Ghost in your life. And I want you to have these wonderful gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, we've got a camp meeting starting in a little over a week. I'll be talking about that. We'll have some ministers that's going to be preaching here that's going to call us. But we're inviting you. You're my family. You're my radio friends all over the world. We know we have over 100 countries that are now listening to us and enjoying us and going to the archives and finding all kinds of things that are there. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it's a wonderful day to be alive. And I'm glad you are right here on Open Bible Dialogue with me. You are so important. I could not tell you how greatly important you are. Now, here's what I want to give you. I'm going to give you two booklets today, two of the best. I wrote both of these and put a lot of time in them. Why many have left Pentecostal fire. There are more Pentecostals today, used to be Pentecostals, who have left the fire of the Holy Ghost than you can imagine. I would say 90% of Pentecostals have left the fire of the Holy Ghost. They're just nominal believers. They just kind of do nominal things. They just, you know, go to church and do sometimes good works, but they have no fire of the Holy Ghost in their life. And that's the Laodicean church that's not going to go in the rapture, but He's going to spew you out of His mouth. And so I'm calling you back to fire so you'll be ready for the rapture. And here's a booklet, Why Many Pentecostals Have Left the Pentecostal Fire. And I'm going to give you another one to go with it I'm fixing to read from, and that is They Shall Speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. If anybody tells you that tongues, speaking in the languages of the Holy Ghost, have gone out of business, you tell them they don't know what they're talking about. I've got a booklet here that I'm offering you. Why men? Why shall they shall speak with new tongues? And I want to read you. I won't read you all of them. I've got quotes from the first century. I got quotes from the second, the third, and even the fourth century. Fourth century. Men that are noted in theological circles. I'm telling you, men that are noted in theological circles. Let me start here with Ambrose. You've heard his name if you've got any historical background in your studies of the Bible. And this is what he said. This is what he said. He died in 258 A.D. He spoke this in 258 A.D. This is he who places prophets in the church, instructs teachers, directs tongues, gives power and healing, does wonderful works, often discriminates a discrimination of spirits, affords power of government, suggests counsels and orders, and arranges whatever other gifts there are of the charismata, and thus makes the Lord's church everywhere and in all perfected and completed. Ambrose, great theologian, noted man in the middle of the third century, is defending the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost. And who said it went out with the end of the early church and the compiling of the scriptures and the Holy Bible? Well, if you want to go on, we can go next to a man named Chrysostom. I don't say that well. Chrysostom. But here's what he said. Now, I want you to listen. You got to listen carefully. This whole place is very obscure. But the obscurity is produced by our ignorance of the facts referred to and by their cessation, that means they've ended, speaking of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, being such as then used to occur, but now no longer takes place. This is in about the middle of the fourth century. You understand? No longer takes place. Well, what did happen then? Whenever or whoever was baptized, he straightway spake with tongues, and not with tongues only, but many also prophesied, and some also performed many other wonderful works. They, the Corinthians, at once on their baptism received the gift, and one straightway spake in Persian, and others in Roman, another in the Indian, another in some other tongue. And this made manifest to them that they were without, that it is the Spirit in the very person speaking. For as the apostles themselves had received this sign first, also the faithful went on receiving it. I mean, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to give you this booklet. This is my gift for today. And these quotes come out of noted historians like Philip Schaeffer. Philip Schaeffer. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. This Pentecostal blessing is real. This reading I'm doing is real. Listen to me. Now, we can go on. What's amazing to me, I'm going to pass over some here and go to Augustine. Augustine, noted in the Catholic circles and in the world of the Reformed theologians. Noted man, Augustine. Listen to what he said. He's decrying the cessation of this visitation and moving of the Holy Ghost. For who expects in these days that those on whom hands are laid, that they may receive the Holy Spirit, should forthwith speak in tongues? Should forthwith speak into, who would think in this day? And he decries the cessation of the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. Augustine, quoted in a book by, the book Augustine on Baptism Against the Dominicans. Augustine's conversion at 32 was miraculous. He had really got off in sin, shacked up with a woman, had a child out of wedlock, and finally at 32 forsook all of the learned fanaticism that he had come in, got involved in, and was converted. And no doubt was a good man. No doubt of that. No doubt. Because he was with the Catholics doesn't mean he wasn't a good man. Those were the days they were leaving and becoming what we now know as Catholicism. Friend, I'm here to tell you, the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost are real. They are real. They are real. Now, here's what I want to promise you. I am going to let God have his way on these telecasts. These broadcasts. And we're going to believe for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Whatever be your background, whatever be your place of church worship, whatever denomination name you go under, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, I want you to become full of the Holy Ghost. I want the gifts of the Spirit to go to work in your life. I put a sermon on this week, and by the way, you can go to the internet and find it on praying in the Holy Ghost. The power of praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, when you begin to pray in the Spirit. You see, tongues, real biblical tongues, are many languages of many nations of the world, and often we will speak in those languages of those nations, but that is what the Bible calls unknown tongues. Now, let me take you to that. That's in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Will you go with me? Chapter 14, and I'll read to you one verse, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, chapter verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Listen now, I'll say that again, I'll read that again. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. When you pray in unknown tongues, the Holy Ghost is praying in you, and he's praying straight to God. Did you hear me? He's praying straight to God. He's talking right to the Father. I mean, he's talking right to the Father. Now, my friend, that's the power. That's why the early church turned the world upside down. I can take you to the book of Ephesians, where Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. And there's something beautiful he says to them in the last chapter of Ephesians. He's telling them our warfare is not against people, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And he says in verse, and this is so important for you to read, he says in verse 18, praying always in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. God's calling the church to get back to praying in the Holy Ghost. To get back to staying on your face until the Spirit of God takes over your prayer life. And you begin to pray in the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, I've said a lot in, 15 minutes here, but now the door is wide open for you. You call us at 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, our local number, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, internet, right here on my computer. I'll have you right there. I'll be looking for what you say to me. I'm going right now to get you up on computer, on the emails, so that you can let me hear from you. And I will do my best to answer your questions. And I want to send you this booklet now with Augustine defending speaking in tongues. Fifth century. He died in what, 4 or something? I'll have it here. Let me go find it so I can give you the exact facts. I want you to have them right. Augustine, I did quote Chrysostom. I don't say that well. But Augustine, I've got his time here. Oh, yeah, he died in 443. So he lived right into the middle of the 5th century. And they believed, they knew it was real. They had forsaken it in this 5th century. But in the 4th century, they still had some semblance of it. There was some little of it happening. But the 5th century, it was over. And in the nominal church world, it's been over ever since, except in rare exceptions. But always, there have been a group of people who were full of the Holy Ghost. And there's people today who are full of the Holy Ghost. I know the Pentecostal church has almost been destroyed by the things of deception, you know, and it's a dark day. But you give me a call. I want to hear from you now. I don't want anybody not to call because you're afraid I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm not going to hurt your feelings. whatever your faith is, you don't believe nothing I'm saying, I'm going to be your friend and we'll be kind to you, and we're going to talk as friends. So let me take a call here. You know, it's so important that we get involved in these kind of things and learn. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Thank you, Pastor Chambers. Hope you're doing well this morning or afternoon.
I'm doing wonderful today, my friend. It is great to have you. Let's make sure I've got you coming on here good. Go ahead now.
Yes, sir. I was curious about the gift of tongues. Do you believe that every single keyword is every single Christian has been given the gift of tongues to speak in tongues, or is that
that it's
gift that is given, just like gifts of healing and gifts of, there are different gifts. I know the Spirit gives, but does he give this gift to every single Christian?
Let me read you the answer from the Bible. Is that okay?
Please.
That's the best place to get our answers, right? All right, let's go to the words of Peter. Then Peter said unto them, this is Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you hear that? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off. Would that mean you and I?
Yes, sir.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall, what? Call. That means he convicts them of sin and brings them to salvation. And he says the gift is unto every one of the people who have been saved, even to the afar off. You can't preach cessation from that because it's never ceased. I received the Pentecostal baptism 60 years ago in a tent meeting, kneeling in the sawdust.
Okay, I guess I was under the impression that there's a difference between receiving the person of the Holy Spirit, and I was really talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. In other words, I see that verse as receiving the gift in salvation, the Holy Spirit, the very person indwelling. And then my question, though, was once we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, does every single Christian, is every Christian given then also the gift of tongues to speak in tongues?
It is available to them. Now notice, just because you're saved doesn't mean you have the baptism. You can go over to Acts 19 to get the answer for that. It's very clear. Apostle Paul went over to Corinth where there were certain Christians. Let me make sure. Go with me to Acts. I like to read it from the Bible. Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found in certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
Okay.
Since ye believe. See, now, one of the greatest Baptist preachers there ever was Stephen Offord. He said this. He said, when I was saved, the Holy Ghost came in to dwell in me, and I had the Holy Ghost. But when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he had me. There's a process from when you're saved to when a person usually receives the baptism, some faster than others, depending on your knowledge and your hunger and your consecration and your prayer life. You're living in the Bible. You're being utterly abandoned to God. He fills with the Holy Ghost the vessel that has been converted, sanctified, and turned over to him and made his property. Those are the people who receive the baptism. And to every person who has ever been born again, that promise is for them if they want it.
I was under the impression whenever I read the verses there, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I suppose...
Now, I've read to you what the book said, and you do believe that, right? Just like that, don't you?
Well, right, that's what I was about.
You've got to take the word, not what you are under the impression of. Now, go ahead, I want to hear it.
Right, right. What I was about to say was there were two understandings, and that's why I used the word impression, because sometimes we have different understandings. And my question is, when I understand the scripture there, I was understanding that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was actually receiving the Holy Spirit. That is where God is putting us under his authority in salvation. And then there are those...
I believe that that is true, that a person who is saved has the Holy Spirit in them and with them, but they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit until they receive the baptism.
Yes, sir. And what I was saying about to say from there was, then there are those who understand that the baptism is actually the speaking in tongues. And what my question was...
Well, now, wait a minute. No, the baptism is not actually speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism. The baptism is receiving this infilling, this overwhelming, being literally submerged in his power, becoming his property. Speaking in tongues is only an evidence of that. It is the sign that the New Testament book of Acts gives us to know when that person has been baptized. And that's why Augustine said that, and Ambrose said that, and many others of the early church fathers said that.
Yes, I wasn't disagreeing with that. I'm saying that there are some people who believe that. I wasn't disagreeing with that part.
Ah, good.
I'm agreeing with the fact that the baptism means that you're under the anointing after you receive the Holy Spirit, that he places people under the anointing when they submit to him, and that that anointing will manifest itself in various ways of gifts.
Well, that's the one gift, though, that is the first evident is speaking in tongues. Then there are nine gifts that follows that. One of them is speaking in tongues as a message to the church, which has to be interpreted. But the day of Pentecost, they didn't need interpretation. This was evident they'd received the baptism. Corinthians in chapter 10 was evident they received the baptism. In Acts 19, it was evident they received the baptism. In each of those cases, they spoke with tongues. See, so we believe that is the initial evidence. Until you have spoken in tongues, you may have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, but you're not dwelling in him, and he has not taken over dominance of your life. He don't possess you until you speak in tongues.
Well, and that's where my question was, is that the only way, the initial evidence?
That is the initial evidence, absolutely.
Because obviously there are Christians who are mute. There are people who don't speak. There are people who don't have tongues. So what my question?
Well, then they can speak in tongues in their spirit. They don't have to verbalize it out for you to hear. I pray in tongues many times in the night, just me right there in the bed, talking to God in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. That's where I was ultimately leading, that there are those who don't speak it physically, audibly, the way we think.
You know, I do have to stop you. You could talk right on the whole hour, and I got another call on the line. I love you, brother. You have brought up some wonderful things, and I am so glad you called.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. This is Brother Jeff Mayo.
Jeff Mayo from Alabama?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're going to be our Bible teacher week after next, beginning Tuesday morning, the 24th of June, 11 o'clock, and you're going to teach us all week on praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Yes, sir. My theme is going to be the power of Pentecostal prayer.
Oh, boy.
Talk about the purpose of Pentecostal prayer. You see, God gives us the purpose of the Pentecost is not only to comfort us, but to lead us and guide us and to usher us into the throne room of grace.
To usher us into the throne room of grace.
Yes.
Say that again, would you?
The power of Pentecostal prayer is the prayer that was first shown to us when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them. And we see after he was nailed to the cross on the day of Pentecost, just about 52, 53 days later, God the Father answered that prayer, and the Bible said Jesus was being preached to them through Peter, and Peter said, this same Jesus whom you crucified, and above 3,000 souls were saved. You see that prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. That's the power of Pentecostal prayer.
Yes.
God can give a Pentecostal, the sanctified Pentecostal, he can give them the power that their prayers can be answered. So if any two or three can touch and bind together, oh, Brother Chambers, it is unimaginable, the power of Pentecostal prayer. It is literally the host of heaven standing there to just assist.
And he prays in us and through us in a language we do not know. We call it unknown tongues. And he's talking to God, and even the devil can't translate it.
brother, our own spirit will actually pray for us and pray through us. We can't even put things into word, and that's the purpose and the power. And then I would like to, if the Lord allow, and I could accumulate this, I want to get to the place maybe on Thursday or Friday morning to talk to us about the pleasure of Pentecostal prayer.
Brother, let me tell you, I couldn't live without that.
It is a pleasure to be able to pray, knowing, as 1 John says, that we have this confidence.
Is it all right if people out there that are from other denominations and backgrounds, can they come to hear you?
Oh, Brother Chambers, by all means. You see, God gave this gift to everybody. Peter himself said, this gift is for you and your children, and those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God should call.
You didn't hear me. I just read that a while ago to the gentleman that was in front of you. And it was incredible. It was incredible. Listen, I love you, Jeff. I could go on and on, but I've got a busy schedule here in front of me the next 3 minutes. And I love you. You will be here then on Monday night or Tuesday morning.
I will be there Monday night, being ready to kick off on Tuesday morning. Please tell all of my North Carolina friends, Virginia friends, South Carolina friends, Georgia friends, come out and be with us at Charlotte, and we're looking forward to it.
And you know, they can actually get on a plane in California and come if they want to.
Brother, they can come from the Middle East. God's helped me. I've been to 4 continents, and everywhere I've ever went, I found people that were hungry and thirsty for God.
Did you know this program is heard in over 100 countries?
No, I did not, brother.
Over 100 countries. I've had response from almost 100 countries where people have listened to sermons or watched sermons. Now, see, we can't see you, but I've got Skype on this new internet I've got. I mean, I've got so much technology in front of me, it scares me. And I got Skype, but I've not learned how to use it. And then when I learn how to use it, I'm going to bring you back in, and we're going to look at you. That may not be very pleasant, but we'll try.
The gospel will go forth into all nations. And I was told I had a face for radio, but maybe, who knows? Maybe one.
I'm just kidding with you. I got your picture in front of me. You're a very wonderful friend, and you're a handsome man, and your wife is a precious lady, and we'll see you next Monday week.
Yes, sir.
God, I love you, brother.
I love you, brother.
What a day that's going to be. I'm here to tell you, friend, we got a day coming. We got a wonderful day coming. We're going to have a great revival. It starts, by the way, Sunday week. That's the 22nd. Mike Switzer. Couldn't get his name out there. Mike Switzer will be preaching on Sunday. And then Monday night, David Roper. Tuesday night, Joey Yates. And right on, Bruce Gans, Eugene Smith, Noah Hatfield. We're going to have a week of camp meeting, friend. I'm looking forward to it. Let me tell you, next week, over at Dallas Church of God in Dallas, North Carolina, they're having their camp meeting. And one of my dear friends, Eddie Sullivan, is their night preacher. One of my dear friends, Eddie Sullivan. Sullivan, you need to go hear Eddie. So you go next week to visit with them at Dallas Church of God. But listen, all of you Dallas folks and everybody listening, the next week is Paul Creek. And I'm excited. I'm excited. Hey. I got the internet here in front of me, busy. I was saved by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe at that time I received the Holy Ghost. I also believe I received spiritual gifts, such as the desire for Christian witness. However, I have never spoken in tongues, nor do I believe it is essential that every Christian speak in tongues. What do you say? I say to you, my dear friend, when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. It is the gift. It is the evident. You will be delightful to yield to it, and it will change your life. I remember in a camp meeting now, and this was 60 years ago, it was actually a revival. It wasn't a camp meeting. It was a revival. And I remember going down to that altar in that tent and getting down in the sawdust, and I'm only 17. I don't know nothing about the Bible. I'm just learning. I'm even just learning to read. And I began to pray for the baptism. And I said to God that night, I will not leave here until you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I already knew I was called to preach. The Holy Spirit was dealing with me because he'd come in when I got saved. But I hadn't let him baptize me. I mean, submerge me in him. And so literally, God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in a language I'd never heard, and I'll never forget the joy, and I've had that joy ever since. 60 years. Let me tell you, it's real, my brother. Listen to me. When you receive the baptism, you will speak in tongues. Now, don't get bothered at me, and don't feel bad at me. I'm not putting anybody down. I want you to understand that. But I just want you to know that when you receive the baptism, you will speak in tongues. Now, we're opening the lines up, okay? The lines are open, 704-391-0588. And then on the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. And then on the internet, JRC. These all come together. JRC@paulcreek.org. 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 Now, I want you to be so full of the Holy Ghost that you are submerged in this great baptism. I'm praying for God to fall on you all over this network, all the way to Australia, all the way to South Africa, up in the Ukraine, up in Russia, all over Switzerland, all over those countries of the Far East, the Middle East, South America, South Africa, all over these countries. I'm praying for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The latter rain. It's time. Father, in the name of Jesus, send the latter rain upon us. We believe in you to pour out your Holy Ghost. I believe this church right here is going to be a center of that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And not just us, but many places are going to be the center of that. We don't want to be any different from other great churches. We want an outpouring of your Holy Ghost, Father. We want a sovereign move that shakes this continent, that shakes this world, brings the church back to Pentecost. The church has got to go back to Pentecost. Amen. The church has got to go back to Pentecost. Absolute power comes when you really go back to Pentecost. When you begin to pray and consecrate yourself and give your whole being on the altar to God and His honor and His glory. Now, email me, call me. The lines are wide open, okay? Want to hear from you everywhere you are. I want to hear from you everywhere you are, okay? You are important to me. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anybody on the internet. You are important, and I want you to be there. All right, now let's hear from you. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and you on the line. May I help you, please?
Hello, Brother Chambers.
Hey, who is this?
In Oklahoma.
Bruce Ganza in Bartersville, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're going to be in camp meeting, and you're going to be preaching on Wednesday night. Brother Bruce, you're one of the best preachers I know, and I can't wait to see you.
Well, God bless you, Brother Chambers, and we always enjoy the fellowship of the camp meeting. It's a wonderful time of refreshment, especially for pastors and ministers, but for all the folks that would come. The atmosphere of the Holy Ghost is just so wonderful, and we can't wait to see everybody and to be a part of the move of God that's coming.
Well, I really believe we're going to have a great move of God, brother. I really believe we're going to have a great move of God.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to
a lot of people have been fasting and praying this week, and we don't fast and pray because we want to force God. We fast and pray to get us in the condition that we can believe and submit to God.
Absolutely. I've been encouraged. We knocked on doors this morning in our area, reaching for the lost and praying with folks on their doorstep, and I was reminded that the Spirit of God was promised to be poured out on all flesh. And these last days, and I believe in that outpouring of that latter rain, the former rain moderately, and now the latter rain, I'm really looking forward to what God is doing, because reaching the lost as well, and we're sensing that and recognizing that God's goodness is touching people's hearts, and He just needs a yielded vessel in the house of God that He might reach to them and pour Himself through them, and they can bear witness that that goodness is the Lord.
You know, the Bible says tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. When people get full of the Holy Ghost and they allow the Spirit to have right away in their life, it's amazing the effect this has on unbelievers, because it becomes a spiritual power that they cannot resist. Let me take you to something. This happened to me this week. In the book of John, the Bible tells us, Jesus speaking, that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he goes on to say, as the scripture hath said. Well, that got a hold of me, so I started looking for the quote that Jesus was quoting. And it's in Isaiah chapter 44, and it's in verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon his thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Now that is the quote that Jesus was quoting in John chapter 3, when he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he goes on to say in verse 39, John does, that this he was speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that would come after he was crucified and glorified. So the Bible is full of promise, brother, that men and women everywhere can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the key is that hunger.
That hunger and thirst and surrender.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love you, Bruce.
I love you, Pastor.
I can hardly wait for Monday week. Can we invite everybody out there to come?
Absolutely, yes.
Everybody. Thank you, Bruce. God bless your heart. You are my friend, and I mean every word of that. Now, call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Hey, everybody in radio land, all down through the eastern part of North Carolina, you haven't been calling much lately. You need to call and get this particular gift. They shall speak with new tongues. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, don't matter who you are. It don't matter what may be your background. God wants to fill you with his Holy Ghost and give you power. He wants to help you win your children and your loved ones and your neighbors. He wants to make you a witness where you work. He wants to give an unction into your life that will turn your life upside down. You get people full of the Holy Ghost, and they affect other people. I'm here to tell you, they affect other people. Now, I want to hear from you. You are very, very important. I got to remove seeing me here to go to this internet and take your calls. Call us quickly. I do want to hear from you. You are very, very important. I mean, you are very, very important. Well, I'm looking for your calls here, and I don't even see those I've already taken. Where are they at? I have to be careful. You know, I miss things if I don't be very, very careful. Prayer needed. Yes, that was something earlier. Wonderful. All right, I talked to you, Brother Allen, so you're still there. I need other internet questions and telephone calls. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. Grab your phone. Hey, call us all over this country. Hey, if you don't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me help you. Let me take you to some scripture. Like the earlier man, the first man who called, I took him to verses that showed the answer to everything he asked. I didn't need to try to give him my opinion. I let the Bible teach him. And that's what I will do with you. I will let the Bible teach you. It isn't what I think. It isn't what I believe. It isn't what I've experienced. Is what this Bible teaches. That's what matters. Every one of us ought to hunger for everything in this Bible. Everything in this scripture ought to be of grave importance to us, and we ought to hunger after it and thirst after it. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, everybody out there, I mean from one end of my radio audience, from one end of the internet audience to the other, you need this booklet. They shall speak with tongues. You will see these quotes from men all the way up to the 5th century that defends the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That whole early church, right through those centuries, knew that speaking in tongues was the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If someone tries to tell you it started here, or it started there, or it started over there, and they get out of the Bible, they really don't know what they're talking about. The Bible is as plain as the nose on your face. The Bible is as plain as the nose on your face. Isaiah said, the Bible is so simple that a wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. You just take this Bible. Your theology may be good, but you put it on the shelf when it comes to the Bible. All theology must come out of the Bible, or it isn't worth you having. And you can always prove your theology by the Bible. Go to the Bible to get your theological moorings and leanings and development. Go to the Bible and learn all the great truths that this Bible tells us. It'll change your life. It'll turn you upside down. I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. Now keep these lines busy. The ladies are standing by. They want your calls because they want to send you this booklet. And I will send you a second booklet just because I love you. And it is why many Pentecostals have left the fire of the Holy Ghost. Probably 90% of Pentecostals today have left the fire of the Holy Ghost. Mainly they did it because they became worldly. They began to chase after the world. They began to chase after pleasure. They began to chase after money. They began to chase after the styles of the world. A Christian lives in the Bible. A Christian lives in the Bible. The Bible is their total, total, total direction. You don't buy a lawnmower from Sears and Roebuck and go to Western Auto to get a book to teach you how to use a Sears and Roebuck lawnmower. You get the direction from the Creator. You get the direction from the manufacturer. God made you. You are in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and the Bible is your roadmap. The Bible is your direction. Well, excuse this throat of mine. Listen, call me quickly. I really want to hear from you. You are important to me, extremely so, and I'm waiting to hear from you. I want to hear what you got to say. I want to debate with you biblically, and God will help us all. I promise you, God will help us all, and you are on the air. May I help you, please? Wait a minute. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you need to cut your radio down. I heard somebody in the background.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call you.
Hey, you got to cut your radio down. You're coming through double, okay? I'll hold a minute. Cut your radio down. I want to talk to you. You're my friend. Go ahead now.
Yes, I believe that we're confused.
Okay, who's confused?
Huh?
Who's confused, me?
No, we are by what you're saying, sir.
Okay.
I believe that you need to concentrate on the word tongues because most people don't understand it. You said yourself that when you're in bed, you pray not in this what we call gibberish, but you talk feeling the spirit, and that's what people don't understand.
Well, okay. Let me try to help you.
Hey, let me finish, sir.
Okay.
I've been through this many times, and I know three men that speak in tongues. And I would not want to be their kind of Christian. I also have been born again in the Spirit and have not spoken in tongues, but I'm at a point where I cannot sin, and that is the sign that we are born again of God.
Okay, now let me go ahead and you stop, okay? You just wait a minute. You know three people who speak in tongues, and you don't have any confidence in any three of them. There are many people who talk gibberish. There are many people who talk all kinds of junk. There's many people who've just practiced and they say words that come to their mind, and there are many Pentecostals that will tell you, not Pentecostals, charismatics, that will tell you, just say something. Just go to saying words that don't make any sense, and it will turn into the Holy Ghost. That's pure tomfoolery. Let me tell you, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He will give you the language you speak in. And it will come by the Holy Ghost. He will use your tongue. He will use your vocal organs. But it will be from the Spirit of God, and it's real. On the day of Pentecost, 120 were speaking in languages that people understood. And I've spoken languages in the Holy Ghost, and people knew what language I was talking. Many missionaries have been in foreign countries, and natives who didn't know a word of English have received the baptism and start speaking in perfect English. There is a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is also a lot of counterfeit. And you don't disown the real because somebody has the counterfeit. The devil wouldn't produce a counterfeit if there wasn't a real. Okay?
Yes, sir. I think that you need to explain to people that tongues, most people think that tongues is this strange conversation.
Tongues is languages of the people of the world. It may be French. I've spoken in French in the Spirit. I've spoken in many different languages in the Holy Ghost.
Please stop right there. You said just now, tongues may mean French or Indian and Spanish. That's the part that needs to be emphasized.
because everybody that I talk to thinks that tongues means that strange vocabulary.
Well, it is only strange in that you don't understand the language the person is speaking in. Now, there is an unknown tongues, which is the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and nobody understands that. And Paul said that when you pray in the unknown tongues, your spirit is praying, but your understanding is unfruitful. Have you read that? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me take you right there. This is verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So that's very clear, that when a person prays in unknown tongues, their understanding does not grasp what they're saying. But Paul said in Romans 8 that that's the Spirit praying, and he's praying according to the perfect will of God, and God hears him, and God will answer. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
You don't agree with me, I don't think, but we're friends, okay? I want you to know, I'm not trying to disagree with nobody. I'm preaching what I believe is absolutely necessary. We need a refilling with the Holy Ghost in the church world. We got to turn this world upside down with God's power. The Bible says it's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of rain outpouring. If I live long enough and Jesus tarries, I'm going to be part of it. I want to be part of it. I'm praying for it right now. I'm actually expecting it to start while I'm on the radio. And people begin to call me and say, hey, I'm here praying at home, and God just filled me with the Holy Ghost. If that happened to anybody, you call me and let me hear from you, okay? I do want to hear from you. Thank you, brother. God bless your heart. Now call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. This is a good broadcast. I'm loving it. Oh, hallelujah. God, send your mighty Holy Ghost and fill us across this great continent, across this great earth, from north to south, from east to west. Pour out the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father. Pour out the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father. I'm believing for that by the Spirit of God. And I want a double portion. I want a portion like I've never had. In John 15:16, Jesus said, whosoever you shall ask of whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, so we should pray in the power of the Holy Spirit to the Son, to the Father. Should we ever pray directly to the Holy Spirit? No. You do not pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never anoint you to pray to himself. The Holy Spirit anoints you to pray to the Father and the Son. So when we pray in the Spirit, we are not praying to the Spirit. We're praying by the Spirit to the Father in the name of the Son. Okay? That's a good question, by the way. And that, I think, is a good answer. All right, our wonderful God. Here's a good one. God is so awesome to give us the ability to walk in the Bible. Through His Spirit, we can be determined if what we see is in a person is false. Through the Spirit, we can determine if what we see in a person is false or true. Amen. That's true. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must strive to be a part of the five wise virgins ready to the Lord, or by the Lord's return, to the Lord's return. Very good. You know, the fire of the Holy Ghost is your readiness to go in the rapture. Did you know that? A person who just got saved is really on fire with the Spirit. But if they just live in that unsaved experience, hey, let me take you to Hebrews. If they just live in that unsaved, that saved experience, they don't go on to deeper things. And I'll take you to that in a moment. Let me take a call here on the line. Hey, call quickly now. Everybody out there, keep calling. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org, and you are on the line. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Pastor. My name is Hugh, and I'm just curious, Pastor. I've been praying a certain prayer for several years now, and I'm just curious. What's your comments on unanswered prayers by God? Do you think there's some reasoning behind it or something?
You're asking me a question that has a multiplicity of answers. Some people don't get an answer from God because they're living in sin. Some people don't get an answer from God because they pray selfishly. Some people don't get an answer from God because they never stay on their face until they are prayed through, until they're in touch with God, until there's a connection between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. That's when prayer becomes so powerful. That's why we're emphasizing praying in the Spirit. Praying until you are anointed to pray. Sometimes when you're anointed to pray, you'll pray in English. Your language, or French if you're a Frenchman, or Russian if you're Russian. But when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you will pray in your own language, in the Spirit, and then you will pray in His language, in the Spirit. And that's when you pray in other tongues, or unknown tongues, whichever. The Bible even speaks of it, we speak in the tongue of angels, and have not charity, we're nothing. So we need to understand that speaking in tongues is not the guide of where you are in the Lord, it's how you live. It's the purity and the charity and the godliness of your walk with Him. But what you need to do is you need to dedicate yourself afresh. Make sure the prayer you're praying is according to His will. Ask Him to show you that. I prayed a lot of prayers that never got an answer, and I discovered later they wasn't really in His will to start with. So seek the will of God, seek the mind of God. When you get the mind of God, I have prayed many times until I prayed through, and then I would get assurance that what I was praying for was going to be answered, and that never failed. I never failed. God even showed me one time a family that's going to be saved on Sunday, and He showed it to me in the week. And when I got ready to preach, they still hadn't got to church. I was standing in the pulpit when they walked up the front steps and came in, and they were gloriously saved. The last time I talked to them, they were still saved, and I believe they still are now. Does that help you, brother?
Amen. Oh, absolutely. Thank you, brother.
God bless you, brother, and God bless you. Now call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. We got time to take your calls. I want you to get these booklets. I do. I want 100 of you to have these booklets. Hundreds of you. I want you to get hungry after the Spirit of God. I want you to get hungry for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life. I want you to get hungry to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to understand, if you believe this Bible, you read the book of Acts. Read it slowly and carefully. You can't doubt that the Holy Ghost is for you and for your children and to as many as are afar off. Even as many. Did you hear me read that from Acts a while ago? Now let me take you to the book of Hebrews. This is chapter 6. It said, "For this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance." Now, that means if they leave those gifts and those enlightenments and those glories of God's great Spirit, and they declare down the road that they're not real, they turn from them, they deny them, they go into other streams of theology, denying the Pentecostal blessing. He said, "You sin a sin that cannot be forgiven." And it's very dangerous. And there are thousands listening to me. They used to be Pentecostal people. You say, "I'm still Pentecostal." Well, I'm not going to argue at that point. You know. But if you're Pentecostal, then you're Pentecostal. You're full of the Holy Ghost, and these powers of the Holy Ghost are real in your life. Every believer full of the Holy Ghost should have the gifts of the Spirit in their life. All these gifts are given that we all may profit thereby. I can read you that, by the way, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, that every person who receives this wonderful Holy Ghost baptism can profit, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit word of wisdom, and he goes through the 9 gifts. Hey, you can have this mighty baptism, and I want you to have it. Now, I don't know how many of you have called and have got the booklets coming, but the ladies are standing by, 2 of them, waiting on your calls. They'll answer the phone immediately. Maybe you're waiting until I get through and this great discussion ends so you can call. That's okay. The ladies will stay as long as that phone rings. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. You call quickly. You call quickly, and they will take care of you. And if you have a question, I'll answer you. Now, let me see if I've got any here that hasn't come through. I don't want anybody to be missed. Sometimes I miss them, and I don't like to do that. I like for everybody to be on who has a desire to be on. Now, while they are calling,
And while the phones are ringing, and by the way, they're ringing right now, and while you're sending an email, let me tell you about this camp meeting. It begins Sunday week. 1 week from Sunday. 1 week from Sunday. Okay, 1 week from tomorrow. On Sunday, which is the 22nd of June, Brother Mike Switzer. On Monday night, then David Roper. Then starting Tuesday morning at 9:30, there'll be a message at 9:30, and then another one will be Brother Mayo that you heard talking to me. He teaches all week at 11, and then we have complimentary lunch. Our ladies fix a meal that is breathtaking, Tuesday through Friday. And we end on Friday night with Noah Hatfield. Thursday night, Eugene Smith. Wednesday night, Bruce Gans. Tuesday night, Joel Yates. Monday night, David Roper. Hey, you don't want to miss it. All week, day and night. Start the day services on Tuesday. The night services on Monday. Regular services on the Sunday. You don't want to miss it. Hey, let me tell you. You got to be my partner. I need some partners. I don't have enough. Financially, we're kind of going through a tight span right now. I need to hear from you. This week, I need to hear from you. I need somebody this week that will send a special gift. I've been praying for a $10,000 gift that would lift me out of the chasm, okay? It would be wonderful. God may move you to do that. God may move you to do that. Now, tomorrow, I'll be preaching in the morning. We have a guest preacher tomorrow night. Precious young man, you will be blessed. Remember the camp meeting? Remember our Christian Academy. We're going to be part of two scholarships this year, this coming year. One of them is the North Carolina Scholarship. You've been reading about it, and we're part of that. We have another scholarship. You need your children in Christian school. You don't want your children being taught that homosexuality is a normal way of life. You don't want them to be taught that the different religions of the world are all equal. That's what they're getting in public school today. It really is. And I pray, hey, I got lines waiting on me here. You on the air, may I help you please? You on the air, may I help you please?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, speak out quickly, my dear friend. God bless your heart.
I just wanted to back up what you were saying to the brother a while ago about the speaking in tongues.
Okay.
My mother prays in tongues, and it's that spirit you was talking, the tongues right there that no man knows.
Right.
Speaks directly to the Father. And then I knew a woman that couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. I mean, she couldn't sing at all. And
she's singing in the spirit.
She sang in the spirit. And I'm going to tell you, it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life. And I had to look at my Bible at that time. I said, wait a minute. Now, I believe in this song all together. I believe in this thing all together.
Hallelujah.
I ain't never heard nothing like that.
You know what? I remember the lady in my home church in 1952, when I was saved, and this woman sat over on the right of the preacher on the second pew, and she'd start singing in the Holy Ghost. And if anything convinced me that Pentecost was real, that woman convinced me that Pentecost was real.
Amen.
It was breathtaking. And we have a missionary. She's still alive. Her name is Childers, Sister Childers. Paul Childers was her husband. Great missionaries in South America. And I've heard her sing in the Holy Ghost, and there's no way to question that it was real. It was too real not to be real. Hey, I got to take another call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. My name's Chester. I'm from Mount Holly, North Carolina.
Okay, Mount Holly, 5-6 miles from me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm over here in Paul Creek.
I'm not real familiar with Mount Holly, and I had to get out of gas.
Do you know how to get on the highway to go to Charlotte?
Yes, sir.
Well, then when you get over to Paul Creek and you pass those tanks on the right and left, you know where those gas tanks are?
Yes.
You take Little Rock Road that right after you cross over the railroad track, it bears off to the right. Not the one who turns sharp, but bears off. You go on that down to, you see Arby's on the left and turn left, and we're about 2 miles down that road. Paul Creek Ministries.
Okay, I can remember that, and I'll write down here in a minute.
Okay, and I want you to come see me. Now, your question.
My question is, I've been a sinner for the last 3 years. I'm bipolar. I have manic depression. I don't know if I'm manic right now. I just feel very high in spirit and Holy Ghost. And I believe in the Trinity and unity. And
I want to pray for God to heal you.
Faith, peace, and love.
Are you ready to be healed?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm off the air. I didn't mean to go off the air, but I'm still on the internet. Let me pray right now for you. Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I bind this difficulty in this brother's life. Make him well and heal him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want to see you in church. I got to go here. I'm off the air. I didn't mean to go off the air without saying goodbye to everybody. But I love you, brother. God bless you. Hey, friends, this has been a broadcast. This has been a broadcast. I'm here to tell you, it has been wonderful to me. I've loved every minute of it. I've loved every minute of it. And I'm just grateful that God has given us such a blessing and such a joy. We love you. I promise you, we love you. All you need to do is yell at us, call on us, come see us. Make sure you come to Camp Meeting. Hey, and call right now, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. We're waiting to hear from you. You are special, my friend.